the new and think it's funny. Streaming to the internet at the speed of light, 96 KBS. For the next few hours, the superhost, Anna May, mistress of the dorks. Dave with a unique perspective. And their core mission, to right that which is wrong, educate the ignorant, and say things funny. You can join the show on the website at geekworldradio.com. Begin.
You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, anime, mistress of the dork, and the man that never stops talking, Dave! Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So I want to thank everyone that tuned in this weekend for ABS. It was a great show this weekend, and yes, we had a lot of fun doing it. We're going to try and do that at least once a month, so during the grab bag spot on Sundays.
Yes.
At least once a month, we should be...
We talk a little bit about some stuff that's a little different than we talk about Geek World. Mm-hmm.
It's a collaboration between, yes, Geek World and the Grab Bag show. Yes. So you got Deidre, who freaking rules.
Yes. Spent a little more time talking about Snooki than we usually do.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
we have a tendency to somehow manage to talk about Snooki like more than anyone should. She is pretty much a cartoon character.
She is. She's
so
very much an Oompa Loompa, and she's okay with being called that, by the way.
Yeah, apparently
because
she'd
rather be called an Oompa Loompa than be pale, because that's the worst thing in the world.
Also, you guys might want to try and check out Geekin's blog, because,
yes,
apparently he now thinks he can tell the future, and he's doing horoscopes.
Oh,
I guess Geekin is calling them horoscopes.
Ah!
I mean, they're
makes sense.
Yeah, they're kind of ominous.
We gotta put a lid on him. He could very well be the end of all creation.
Yeah,
as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, Geekin is going totally wild.
It's like Reality Bomb, you know, with like Owlman there. It's pretty bad. But so what are we talking about? What are we talking about this show?
Well, let's talk about what we're gonna be talking about this hour.
This hour.
I think we're gonna start off with a little April Fool's stuff.
Ah, April Fool's, nice.
There are a couple new shows, so we're gonna talk a little bit about the new show Chaos,
yes,
and the new show The Borgia.
Borgia. Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Batman Incorporated.
Nice.
So that's what's up this hour, and then there's a whole lot more to come.
Super. Well, first off, I want to say, we're talking about April 1st. I want to say that my awesome nephew, Max, had,
mm-hmm,
his first birthday. So happy birthday, Max.
Happy birthday, Max. That's your present.
Yes, exactly. Happy birthday. We'll get your present at some point. And also, I have to say, a friend of mine just had a baby this week, too, and gave the baby the most awesome name ever.
Happy birthday to a video game character that is your best friend's baby.
Raiden! How awesome is that?
I'm glad he didn't go with the porn star name.
That's the kid's name. You know, I gotta say, though, honestly, what's really cool about my friend is, if he has another son, he hopes to name him Thor. So that would be completely awesome, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, the best part is his argument for why that's good. Because you
get
it first and you're like, you know, okay, well, I could see why your fiancé wouldn't necessarily be up with that. But then he gave his argument.
Yes.
And you can't argue with the,
yes,
the reasoning of it.
So I totally agree.
Why is he going to name the next one Thor if they have a son?
My very good friend, you know, told me that, the reason that you should name the kid Thor is, you know, what if the kid ends up being blonde and jacked?
And you know, your friend is a tall blonde guy.
Yes, yes.
So there's a good chance of having a tall blonde,
exactly,
you know,
so,
tall blonde,
I mean,
baby.
How can you argue with that, really? It is very true.
You can.
There isn't a more perfect name than Thor for a guy who happens to be tall and jacked.
And then he would have his own day. Thor's day.
Exactly. So that'd be sweet. And I'm sure he'd be treated like royalty if he went up to, like, you know, Norway or Denmark or any of those places.
Heck yeah.
So I think it's a great idea. But, you know, there's a lot of haters out there, I guess, who don't think that's necessarily a good idea. But I think it's great. So that's very cool. So that's very happy news. But let's move on to some of the April Fool's Day stuff. Now, what's great about April Fool's Day is that, you know, we often get to see a lot of fun, you know, basically April Fool's jokes that mm-hmm. are on, you know, different news sites or TV shows or something. And, you know, I got to say, this year I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I really didn't see that many April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, I mean, of course, from what I'm seeing on TV with these, like, prank shows and stuff, and then what people seem to think a prank is nowadays, I'm sorry, but kicking somebody in the balls is not a prank.
MTV has some stupid prank show, and we saw a preview for it, and a guy just walked up to another guy who was sleeping and farted in his face.
That's not a prank.
No, it's just, it's gross, but yeah. I wouldn't call it a prank.
No. Not,
a little bit of thought goes into a prank. I don't think there's a whole lot of thought in there.
You have a friend, we have a friend who is the master of pranks.
Yes,
I mean,
the prankster.
Yeah, like, you know, it's the kind of thing where you essentially, you know, glue somebody's entire desk to the roof,
exactly.
You know, to the ceiling, where you like somehow manage to get their car inside a building.
Yeah, it's one of those, exactly. Yeah, it, like an elaborate scheme, like a Lex Lutheran type Lutheran. Well, there you go, like a Lex Luthor type, you know, scheme like that. That's the kind of thing.
You put
a
fake spider in someone's desk because they're afraid of spiders.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Something clever like that. Just, you know, literally just, you know, farting on a guy's face is not a prank.
No.
I don't care what you say. That's not
a
prank.
It's a little more bullying than prank.
Yeah, it's bullying for sure. And
especially
it's,
when they're sleeping.
It's just gross and very frat boyish.
And then if you fart on their face and put it on the internet, still doesn't make it a prank.
No, it's a little more of a prank, however, I would have to say.
Yeah, it does take a little more effort, I guess, because you have to set up the camera.
Tad more thought going on in there, but still not really a prank. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, there were two pranks. April Fool's Day,
news pranks.
Fake news pranks that I found that I'd like to read that I thought were really funny. The first one actually is from IGN, and here it is. EA is creating a new Harry Potter game based on a gritty reimagining of Harry Potter as an FX TV show written by Sean Ryan, the creator of The Shield. The plot will surround a new Potter story that expands upon some of the secondary characters established in the books. Expect dynamic rooftop spell battles and an interrogation system similar to the one seen in Rockstar's L.A. Noire. That could be kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, this is one of those pranks I wish would be real. I mean, can you imagine if, like, you'd be Harry Potter and you could, like, interrogate one of the Death Eaters?
By J.K. Growling.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, you know, this is not a prank. I really like the poster for the last Harry Potter movie with, like, Harry and Voldemort.
Yeah.
And their faces all covered in blood and stuff and in between the cool wand or whatever.
For the final movie.
Exactly.
When you said the last one. I thought you meant the one that came out.
No, I mean for this last one that's coming out this year. So, you know, that was pretty funny. You know, they went so far as to, you know, first off, it's clearly insane, so mm-hmm. it could never be true. But also, it was funny.
Although you never know with some of these.
Well, luckily, I think considering what Universal caused, you know, spent millions and millions of dollars on the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Probably the last thing we're going to see is anything too subversive come out of that franchise. But I got to say, good show. I'm glad that they came up with that.
The Wizarding World of Scary Potter.
And, you know, the other one that I had that I thought was really, really funny. Now, this one actually takes the cake. And, you know, I wish I had more. If you guys found any.
Yeah, I like cake.
Yes, who doesn't like cake? If you guys found any that, you know, you think are particularly good that, you know, we didn't see, you know, you can send us an email to geekworld@925kyhway.com and send us those links. But this is one of the other ones that we found that I think was my favorite. Now, first off, you know, this one was really a prank.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And this one actually at first got you.
It first got me. It did. It totally got me. And
but you pretty quickly found out that it had to be an April Fool's prank.
I realized it had to be an April Fool's prank because, it came out, actually, it was put out before April Fool's.
Yeah.
They put out the article about 2 hours before April Fool's. It was at, like, 10 o'clock, you know, the night before April Fool's, and that's how I figured it out. But really, this one was a good one.
But it was stated as being, like 4 or 5 hours after it was when the article came out.
Yeah, it said that it happened at 3 a.m. when, you know, because we're on the West Coast, they went into the future, essentially. But here you go. This is, and this is a prank. This is not real news. This is from the Superman homepage. The Vancouver Police Department issued a statement today revealing that Smallville actor Tom Welling was arrested early this morning on charges of indecent exposure. Around 3:30 a.m., police received a report from the McDonald's security staff that a man was indecently exposed exposing himself in a car park at the Main Street restaurant in Vancouver. Police located the man a short time later in a car park and identified him as American actor Thomas Jane Patrick Welling of Smallville fame.
Is that even his name?
I have no idea.
Like, Thomas Jane Patrick Welling?
No, I'm sorry. Thomas John.
Oh, okay.
Thomas John
well,
Patrick Welling.
Either way, I mean, that's a lot of names.
That is a lot of names. That's like four names. That's not even like serial. That's like above serial killer. Yeah. It's like serial killers have like three names. There's a lot of names. I don't know, maybe. But,
Which might have been another tip off to people that the I don't, like, first off, they wouldn't give all those names.
And also, they say, we're waiting CCTV footage of the incident from the McDonald's security camera. And so, of course, you know, this is not real. And like I said,
oh wow,
before,
that is his name.
Yeah, well,
Thomas John Patrick Welling.
Well, that's why they knew he had what it took to be Superman. He's got all those names. I mean, clearly, because Superman has a lot of names too. You know, he's like Clark Kent.
Kal-El.
He's like Kal-El. He's like
Superman.
You know, Superman. Exactly. I mean, they needed a guy that had that many names. But you know, this one was good. I mean, the only reason I knew it wasn't exact false is
because it was in the future.
Exactly, it was in the future. But I appreciate that one. But yeah, overall, I got to say, I really kind of wish they would have more April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, I mean, people, I guess, are afraid of getting sued or something.
I think you're right, yeah.
But come on, like,
the April Fools.
The thing of a prank is to make it so far-fetched that people wouldn't believe it. Like, you know, I don't know, saying somebody was abducted by aliens.
Uh-huh, exactly.
You know, because then you first have to believe that there are aliens that abduct people, and second off, you have to believe that celebrity would have been abducted and that they would admit it, that their publicist would allow them to admit it.
If you're a big fan of the History Channel, you might believe that. Which, by the way, it's funny
because that would be some celebrity was abducted by ancient aliens. Ancient astronauts.
Yeah. It's really funny. Remember the History Channel with that whole the Kennedys thing?
Yeah.
And you remember they wouldn't do that because they didn't think it was historically accurate? At least, you know, the Kennedys existed and, you know, it had to do with a real time period, unlike, you know, the ancient astronauts.
Yeah, but if they had played that Kennedys, they might as well have played Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
Yeah. Anyway, I kind of want to see that, though. That also got really good ratings for the Reels channel, by the way.
What?
The Kennedys.
Oh, but it's supposed to be terrible.
And yeah, I know, but I want to see some slander.
And Katie Holmes is being panned as the, like, the worst portrayal of Jackie O ever.
Of course. I mean, she never was a good actress, and now, you know, she's got that whole stigma of the whole Tom Cruise thing.
She looks freaky. She looks like a freaking alien.
Yeah, she does. Like,
she
a little UFO action going on there.
I used to just, you know, find her, like, plain and boring and kind of, like, scrunchy face looking, but now she's freaky.
I thought she was hot when I was a kid. Like, Disturbing Behavior, you know, she was, like, the bad girl, and I thought she was really hot, but yeah, that was a long time ago. So anyway, so there you go for April Fool's. So hopefully next year there'll be some better ones. I think my favorite April Fool's Day thing ever was, do you remember way back in the day in South Park when they were going to reveal who Cartman's father was?
Yeah.
And then right on that episode, they were supposed to reveal it was April Fool's Day, and it was that Terrence and Phillip episode.
That was funny.
Which, by the way, is still one of my favorite, you know, South Park episodes. It was just, it's actually really funny, though, you know, a lot of people don't like Terrence and Phillip that much. I don't even know if they still do that. I haven't watched South Park in years. Do they still do Terrence and Phillip? Probably not, right?
No.
I don't know. I have no idea. Who knows? Anyway, so what are we going to talk about now?
I don't know. Let's see. I guess that we can go on to chaos.
Oh, okay. Well, before we do that, don't forget you can send us an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So, anime, what are we talking about now?
Chaos.
Chaos. All right. Well, this is a television show.
Yeah.
That's about the best thing I can say about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what network this is from? I never bothered to check. It's like an ABC or something. Who knows?
Damn.
Well, really, all I have to say about this show is it was executive produced and the pilot was directed by Brett Ratner, if that tells anybody anything.
Should tell you everything.
A man who would probably be known as the worst director in film right now if there wasn't a singular man out there who is, you know, by far the worst, which is, of course, the infamous Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
But, you know, and also I think Mick G also does a pretty terrible job too at directing movies, I'd have to say. It's kind of a, but you know, I don't,
but at least Mick G has redeemed himself for TV.
Yes. And I don't think Mick G is as hateable as Brett Ratner. I think that people don't like his name because Mick G just sounds, you know,
sounds douchey.
Yeah, he sounds like a total douche. Exactly. But yeah, I don't think he's nearly as hateable. Anyway, so basically, this show is kind of set on the precedent that, you know, isn't the CIA so freaking hilarious?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
I think you know, it's like, I hear enhanced interrogation, and it just makes me laugh.
Yeah, you know, every time I think about waterboarding, I'm like, ah! Yeah, I mean, listen, the CIA is not funny. And
no.
The CIA has never been funny, and no one's ever going to think the CIA is funny. And that's kind of the main issue with this show. Basically, this show is starring Freddy Rodriguez, who, you know, we like a lot.
Yeah,
and,
especially when he has one beefy arm.
Exactly. Lady in the Water. Very nice, very nice. And, you know, essentially he plays this guy who's always wanted to be a spy, and he gets a job for the CIA, and he shows up, and of course, cutbacks, he no longer has a job. But, you know,
or at least he's manipulated into believing that.
Well, and basically what ends up happening
is Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, is Kurtwood Smith, who's like the director there. He basically, you know, he puts him in as a mole,
into this group that's essentially, you know, the last group of real, like, spooks.
Exactly.
Now, like the CIA agents that, like, are kind of, like, rogue. They do their own thing. They identify threats, and then they deal with them.
Yeah, like back in the 50s, you know, and they just go and do whatever they want and get away with it. And essentially, you know, it's the zany misadventures of him in this group, you know, full of these crazy guys. And, you know, I think that the idea did have some sort of I can see why this pitch got made.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, you know, how, because they were definitely going for a sort of a quirky, like, Eureka type thing.
Yeah, and they were also going for the kind of family feel of shows that, I think it's CBS. I might be wrong, but I think it's CBS, because they're going for the same kind of quirky feels like NCIS.
Right.
You know, the same kind of family, you know, yeah, but with the more quirkiness of, like you said, like Eureka and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, the main issue is, you know, what makes Eureka work so well is the fact that it's clever and smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the problem with Chaos. It's really neither. You know, I have to say that there were a few things I thought were sort of amusing. You know, I think the whole Tim Blake Nelson, I'm a human weapon thing, that was, you know, probably the biggest payoff in the entire show.
Yeah, except for the fact that, you know, when you see him as the human weapon, you first off expect it to be shot well.
Mm-hmm.
You second off expect him to look really cool doing it.
Yeah.
You expect something really cool.
Yeah.
And what you get is not.
Well, you know, and then you find out once again, oh wait, Brett Ratner directed this, and so that kind of tells you all you need to know. You know, I gotta say though, really, the thing was, I don't think the show knew what it wanted to be, because there were times when it was serious, and there were times when I think they were trying to be like Get Smart or something, and you know, it wasn't even as, you know, funny as Get Smart. I think it was supposed to be just a quirky comedy. I think that's what the main thing they were going for, right?
Yeah, they were, yeah.
But the main problem is, like I said before, you know, people, they can see the CIA as, like, heroic. They can see him as badass, and they can even see him as evil.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really see the CIA as funny.
Yeah.
Because they're not. Nothing about what the CIA does is actually funny.
Yeah, CIA and FBI, those are two of those acronyms that you don't, like...
I would say FBI is fine, because CIA is always connected with, like, you know, black ops, like, murdering people.
That's
like
true.
Like all the dark stuff
that the American
government does is connected to the CIA. And that's the problem with CIA. People think CIA and they think like Jason Bourne, or they think like, you know,
it's kind of like they're never going to make Blackwater the comedy.
Exactly. They, you know, they think of assassinations, and you know, they don't really think of like, you know, a zany sort of like, oh, we're all brothers and doing the best thing, and you know, nothing ever wrong goes
down
here.
This would better be done as a group of actual like rogue, you know, like ex-rogue CIA agents.
Yeah, I just think the main thing is it's just, you know, it's really funny because, you know, ever since the 70s, we've had the whole, like, you know, the police department, they're a bunch of wusses. And so, you know, we need guys like Dirty Harry to be out there and, you know, take them down. It's like, what do you mean we can't take this serial killer down because you're running for re-election mayor? We need to take them down, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole, like, you know, the process is getting in the way of justice. And there's been this kind of thing going on, you know, for years now.
Charles Bronson giving you a death wish, punk.
Yeah, death wish, punk, exactly. And so, you know, first you start with the police, and then it shows, like, with the FBI. But now we're getting to the CIA. The CIA is a bunch of, like, wussies. And luckily, these guys are badass CIA agents. Like, no one believes that.
Yeah, damn that, like, CIA bureaucracy.
Yeah, like, no one believes that at all. That's the thing. Like, people believe the CIA does whatever they want.
Like, you know, and they sort of play on the spy aspect, how everyone is out to get everyone else, and blah, 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 and, the, you know. But it's
I think you said
it's a lot more good ideas than it is good
Exactly. Creation. Well, it's just hokey, and, you know, we live in a critical time right now where it just doesn't fly. Like, the thing about Chuck, why Chuck works, and the reason why Chuck has been on for so long is because the CIA does nefarious stuff.
Yeah.
But Chuck is thrown into this.
And
he's
Chuck
has no choice, and he's pure, exactly. And so the people around him start changing for the better because of it, but, you know, Sarah still kills people, and she still has killed people that she's been ordered to kill, and Casey still kills people as ordered to kill. Like, that's
he's
the thing.
Still nefarious in certain ways, too. Yeah.
There's not this kind of hokey idea that, you know, that there aren't, like, these, you know, evil assassinations going on, this covert stuff, and that's why it works.
Yeah.
But, you know, once...
Yeah, Freddy Rodriguez, his character, you know, he might be new, but it's what he's wanted his whole life. It's what he's trained for his whole life. He's trained to be nefarious.
Yeah, I really felt like they were trying to go for, like, one of those, like, 60s, like, sitcoms, you know, like I Dream of Jeannie or something. Like, something where, like, the real world doesn't really apply.
Yeah.
And it was very bizarre because of that. And, you know, there were a few things that, you know, I thought were sort of amusing, but I could not watch this show.
Yeah, no, it was
like it
really
was hard
awkward
getting through the first episode.
My God, what a terrible job directing.
Yeah, it was bad. So, you know, I mean, the thing was...
just because he makes movies, it doesn't make him good.
No, he's really bad. But, you know, I gotta say, you know, like we said, we like Freddy Rodriguez, we love Kurtwood Smith, and we
you
like
know what they should have done? He should have gotten his buddy Chris Tucker to be in it.
Yeah, exactly.
That would take it completely out of the real world.
Freaking,
you know,
Chris
he's
Tucker.
Just like some random guy, like, you know, instead of that guy that's the you know, what they call the zombie, the one who roams the halls, it could have been Chris Tucker.
Exactly.
As that guy.
Damn!
Yeah. Could have worn his clothes from Fifth Element.
Clandestine operation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that might have made it work if you took it totally out of the real world.
Actually,
but, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but the place that does enhanced interrogation, a.k.a. torture, not funny.
You know what's weird about Chris Tucker is, you know, there's actually
that
two roles
awesome.
That I thought he was really, really good in outside of Rush Hour, because all he does is Rush Hour movies. If a Rush Hour movie isn't being made, he's not working. But, you know, aside from The Fifth Element, which you just mentioned, which he's unbelievable in, just great, you know, Luc Besson's awesome, you know, space action movie. But also, you know, you ever seen the movie Dead Presidents?
Yes.
He was great in that movie. He
really acted.
He was like the best actor in that movie. And that's the weirdest part about watching. He's unbelievable. But yeah,
I think he makes a lot of money during his stand-up. He doesn't really like...
Is that? I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I've seen him in like three Rush Hour movies in like the past 10 years.
I heard this rumor that he does really well with his stand-up, and he doesn't really like doing movies so much. He doesn't really like, you know, the Hollywood kind of thing as much. And so, you know, he'll do it for friends, but, you know, he just...
Well, he gets $20 million per Rush Hour. So
yeah,
as long as every few years he can do a Rush Hour movie, you know, then it'll be set. Actually, can I read a little bit of news real quick, though?
Please do.
You know, when you're talking about The Fifth Element, it reminded me about, you know, of course, the great Luc Besson, the guy who we were actually very happy to hear Natalie Portman, you know, mention in her speech when she won the Academy Award.
Yes.
Because, you know, she didn't mention that dancer who deserved the Academy Award.
I want to talk a little bit about that, too, by the way.
Well, let me just do this, and then we can talk about that. But basically, you know, Cinemax has ordered 12 episodes of the Transporter TV series that's going to be based on Luc Besson's, trilogy. And it looks like it's going to cost about $4 million per episode to make, and of course Luc Besson has already had two versions of his classic movie Nikita turned into a TV series, so I think this could be really cool. I mean, we're finding a lot of resurgence
but who
of
are they going
like
to get
this.
To be Statham?
That's the problem. Who is Jason Statham? Yeah,
Jason
exactly.
Statham is Jason
that's the problem
Statham.
Yeah, well,
you need
know.
To find some hood off the streets and
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know who could play Jason Statham, but either way,
how
if you can find
or else
cool,
are you going to find a diver? That's that awesome.
That's true. How? It's true. You know, Jason Statham, you know, he's tough. He's cool. He can do all that action and stuff. But, you know, I'm sure they can find somebody. I mean, Luc Besson's really good at, you know, getting really good performances and really cool things out of people. And I love him. I just think he's a great filmmaker, a great producer. I mean, he produced Taken. I mean, he's just awesome.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that, about the Black Swan thing.
Okay, so the whole thing is that there's this controversy going on because of the ballerina that did, you know, some of the dance work for Natalie Portman in the movie. And, apparently, you know, she was told by the studio or something not to talk about it in interviews or to that because you know,
like a month or two before the whole Academy Awards, she was told to not say that she, you know, she had worked on it essentially, so they could. And she says because it's a conspiracy theory to make everyone believe that Natalie Portman became like a prima ballerina in a year.
Now I have a few points to make about this, and first off, I just want to say that we had listened to some interview on NPR
yes.
like before you know before. The Academy Awards happened.
Yes.
And it was an interview with Natalie Portman about Black Swan.
Uh-huh.
And Natalie Portman was talking about how this ballerina did a lot of the work for,
exactly.
for it. Like
yeah.
how she, you know, how you know, she worked really hard, but that she, you know, she could only do so much, and how there were these other ballerinas that were doing a lot of the work,
mm-hmm.
you know? So first off, there's that. So there's no conspiracy there.
Yeah.
Second off, the idea that the media is making such a big deal out of this, when stuntmen and stuntwomen for years have been trying to get some sort of credit, some sort of recognition for the
yeah.
work they do. You know, you got all these actors that go, I do all my own stunts. No, you don't do all your own stunts. The studios wouldn't allow you to do all your own
yeah.
stunts. They have, like, insurance on your face, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that you can do. Sure, you might do some of the wire work. You might get whipped back by a wire. But there are stuntmen and women that have wanted even the slightest bit of recognition by, like, the Academy Awards or something, that for years have been fighting for it.
Yeah.
And they don't get that kind of recognition. And yet this ballerina or, you know, or the media have decided that this ballerina deserves all of this recognition. I'm sorry Natalie Portman couldn't become a prima ballerina
yeah.
in the time that it took. You know, does that mean that Charlize Theron should give back her Oscar because she didn't become a real serial killer?
It's true. Yes, exactly. That's
like,
a good point. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I totally
agree. You made a great point when we were talking about this. Like, does that mean that Jamie Foxx should give back his
yes.
Academy Award
yes.
because it was actually Ray Charles singing?
Uh-huh. I totally, yeah, he had, yeah, of course, because that's the thing now. Apparently, everyone believes that an actor, you know, has to lock, stock, and barrel everything. Like, everything needs to, they need to become that person, you know, all the way. I mean, it's ridiculous. The thing is, I think it's offensive to say Natalie Portman wouldn't have won the Academy Award had people known this, because the thing is, it was her acting. She
mm-hmm.
was a great actor. She was great in this movie. If you haven't seen Black Swan, the movie's, it's good. It's not the best movie ever made, but she is by far the best thing in it. And
the other thing is that, you know, they showed a lot of her arms and her
yeah.
torso and her head.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they did go to the feet sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of it was flappy sounds of,
yeah.
of like wings and her, like, you know, bringing her arms out and in and out and in and making faces.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, yeah, they did put her face, you know, on the dancer in certain big shots. But like, I mean, if the idea is that an actor needs to be able to do all this stuff in order to win Academy Award, then Jackie Chan should have won every Academy Award ever.
Yeah.
I mean, because he does all his own stunts in Kung Fu. I mean, is that enough? I mean, like, I'm sorry, when Daniel Day-Lewis won for My Left Foot, did he learn how to paint that well with his foot?
Did he become paralyzed?
And all those paintings were his own paintings?
Yeah.
Like, you know, was Russell Crowe actually a gladiator?
I believe
he
was.
Like, this is just ridiculous.
But at that, I think that we should move on to a break. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com.
In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero super hosts, Anna Mae, Mistress of the Dork, and the man that never stops talking, Dave. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So we talked a little bit about the new show Chaos.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about some of the April Fool's Day pranks and lack of pranks.
Yeah, I know, right?
I gotta say, I
together.
Yeah, I mean, I never liked getting pranked. You know,
no one likes getting pranked, because the problem with a prank is, you know,
that some people think a prank is farting in your face.
No, it's an eye for an eye thing, because, you know,
then you have to get them back.
Yeah, you have to get them back by honor. If you don't get them back, then it's like, you know, it's sort of like, it's like prison rules, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you get punked and then you're punked forever. And so you have to get them back, and then it's a vicious circle, and then it just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger until either somebody just relents or, you know, it's vicious.
But it's like, you know, there are real pranks. I mean, even on the Jersey Shore, you know, when Mike sent Snooki and Vina to New York, and like, but that was a real prank.
The boobs.
Yeah, he paid for it. You know,
yeah,
he actually paid money for them to go to New York, and
yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have been a prank if he had sent them there and not paid the money.
That would have been messed up.
Yeah, that's not a prank. That's just being a bully and a jerk.
That was the best one, you know.
On the other hand, letting dogs poop all over the house, not a prank.
I gotta say, though, the one when they did with him in the cheese in the bed.
Oh my god,
that was good too. Especially
with the
girl.
Good because he doesn't
change
the sheets.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
We're talking a little too much about Jersey Shore. Yeah, I didn't see this, but apparently Snooki was at that WrestleMania thing, and she did, like, wrestling moves. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but, yeah. If someone could explain to me what a Miz is, I appreciate it. I don't know what is up with that guy. Someone on G4 or whatever.
I know that's, like, you know, something that, like, ladies are called. Like, Miz.
He looks like he looks like a geek. He doesn't look like your normal, like, WWF guy.
You miss the days of The Rock, right?
I do, yeah. I miss The Rock, and I can't. Oh,
I miss Hulk Hogan.
By the way, yeah, me too. By the way, I gotta give credit where credit is due.
Yeah?
The freaking Undertaker is still wrestling, okay?
That's awesome.
The Undertaker was, like, wrestling, like, when we were, like, 5 or something. Homeboy has been doing this forever. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him.
He's so cool.
I mean, you watch freaking The Wrestler, that Darren Aronofsky movie. It's like, how could you possibly made it for this long?
It's like, just be The Undertaker.
Seriously. I mean, it's great. So I have to give credit where credit's due. I'm very impressed that he's still around doing that.
Well, I mean, the fact is that the dude just always wears scary makeup and a trench coat. So, like, you know, he never had to be as in shape as some of the other guys. And he never had to, like, you know, he also wears a hat, you know? So he gets to kind of hide his face. And he didn't
like
have
a villain
to be
in the old
kind of
West.
Shape, and he just had to be big and scary.
Yes, when he's very, very good at that. Yes, exactly. Yeah, totally. Anyway,
Jersey Shore and wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. This is not what we usually talk about in the show.
Angel Dust and Cannibalism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So instead, we're going to switch it to the Renaissance.
Woo!
And the papacy. Yeah, it's exactly what everyone wanted to hear about.
Pope world.
Yeah, Pope. Yo. Anyway, I think I was about to swear. Okay, so basically,
don't swear at the Pope.
We're going to talk about a little bit. There's a lot of, like, medieval-type stuff that's going on right now.
When did the Pope-mobile get invented?
I don't know. It's pretty sweet, though, isn't it?
It's so cool. I want a Pope-mobile.
I do, too, you know?
Hey, anyone know how we can get a Pope-mobile?
Do you think you could prevent, like, all kind of accidents by building the Pope-mobile around stuff? Like, do you think you could prevent, like, a plane crash by building the Pope-mobile around the plane? Or, like, you know, a building from coming down by putting the Pope... No, what do you mean? It's the Pope-mobile. First off,
technology
is
protected by God, right?
Like, God protects it. Exactly.
It's not bulletproof glass. It's God glass.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's
sorry to all you people who love your religion and are Catholic or something.
Yeah, or something. You know. Anyway, so if they, you know,
I guess don't get angry at us. Get angry at the Borgia.
That's to say, something we can say that would make them more upset than the Borgia. So essentially, like I said, there's a lot of medieval
our history.
Our history, exactly. And we loved Rome that came out from HBO a few years ago. And the Tudors was sort of like, you know, the Red Shoe Diaries with acting, but you know, that show was on for quite a while.
Yeah, it was history, except replacing what people really looked like with supermodels.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, a lot of
let's take this big fat guy and make him into the most beautiful man ever.
Seriously, it's ridiculous. And then, like, I love that every chick in that is seriously a supermodel.
It's like it was Jonathan Rhys Meyers when it should have been Jonathan Rhys Davies.
That was good,
right?
Whoa! Okay, high five on that one.
Woo!
Oh man, I can't. It was good. I don't even know what to say.
It's perfect, right?
Awesome.
Yeah,
that was good. Exactly. I mean,
it's exactly what it should have been.
Touché. Good job. Yeah, I mean, exactly. And so, from the makers of the Tudors, we get the Borgia, and essentially, this is a executive produced and directed and written by Neil Jordan, who actually did some really cool movies in the past. He did The Crying Game, which I believe you saw in the theater when you were like a little kid.
Yeah, well, my parents, when they, you know, they didn't like to know what the secrets of things were, so they made sure not to find out what the secret was. But everyone was saying how amazing this movie was and how great it was. And, you know, they would take me to R-rated movies. And I'm sure it was kind of an awkward conversation when they had to explain to me exactly what it was that I had seen. But, you know, I was a mature kid. I was able to handle it.
It's a great movie, but it is one of those movies that, a lot of people won't watch. It's actually sort of like...
I'm going to tell everyone the secret.
It's sort of like...
She's a man.
It's sort of like Brokeback Mountain. It's a movie that a lot of people wouldn't see when they found out what it was about.
Yeah.
You know? But it's
an amazing movie.
It's a very, very good movie. And also, he directed Interview with a Vampire, which also... It's funny. You look back at Interview with a Vampire and the way, you know, they adapted Anne Rice's book, and you can really see where the whole Twilight thing happened. You know, the whole, like, you know, like, alabaster skin and the whole, like, oh, it's beautiful vampire thing. It's like, it's all right there. But basically... basically, you know, he's a very good filmmaker, and like I said, he executive produced, wrote, and directed this. And this is starring Jeremy Irons, who of course is a great actor, and he is playing Rodrigo Borgia, who ended up becoming the Pope, Pope Alexander Sextus.
Popa!
He even has Sextus in the name.
Sextus, yeah, and, makes sense.
He's basically this nefarious, well-known, badass Pope from the Renaissance. You know, it all starts in 1492 in Milan.
Wow, both bad and ass makes sense.
Exactly.
For him.
And essentially, you know, to give you any idea of sort of what's to come in the rise of power of this family, the Borgia, the actual family, they were the inspiration for Machiavelli's The Prince, which of course is the book everyone looks to to find out what Machiavellianism is. You know, which is, of course, you know what that means, right? The whole, you know, do whatever you want because, you know, as long as you get to your goal, it doesn't matter who you trample over, who you kill. And of course, it was also this family was also inspiration for Mario Puzo's The Godfather. And so, and also another really interesting thing is this series was actually an adaptation of a 2006 Spanish movie called The Borgia, which I didn't even know about. But anyway, you know, the main thing is that Jeremy Irons rules, and he's very, very good in this role. Playing this very, very nefarious cardinal who becomes Pope.
Yeah, he's just a fantastic actor, and you know, typically he is able to elevate any sort of material.
Yes,
I just have to start off with a criticism of this right off.
Go
the bat.
For it.
It is. I expect a lot from Neil Jordan.
Yeah, well, Neil Jordan is he's a great filmmaker.
But this was one of the worst written shows that I've seen in a while for something especially that's supposed to be this good. Like yeah. Something that's supposed to be of more quality than this. Like, it was, the dialogue was beyond trite. And I was so disappointed. Like, I mean, I don't know. I guess I was expecting too much from something from Showtime. Like, I love Showtime and they're all fun and stuff, but I don't know. Maybe I was like expecting more HBO kind of like quality in the writing.
I think Showtime's real strength is in its dramedies.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are they're funny and also.
Because I love the show, like a lot of the Showtime shows.
Well, Dexter was a fantastic show, obviously. Weeds is a fantastic show. L Word is a fantastic show.
United States of Tara is
exactly.
Great.
It's a great show in the second season, which we love. And I mean, Showtime has a lot of good stuff. I think the problem with the Borgia is the fact that Rome exists.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it looks like Rome, but it sounds like the Tudors.
Well, and then the Tudors has, like, you know, a whole lot of beautiful people and boobs and stuff.
Yes.
Like beauty and nakedness. And,
yes.
And just fun.
Well,
you
yeah.
know, like.
I mean, really, like we said, the Tudors is essentially, you know, it's like history with, you know, essentially softcore porn half the time.
Yeah.
And actually, by the way, our new Superman, Henry Cavill, is from the Tudors, if you recall. He was, I think, like the right-hand man of the king there. But yeah, you know, the thing is, I think I liked it more than you, but the main reason was I just really liked the overall story. I like this family. I like how messed up they are. I like, you know,
You're
I like the
up.
Setting. I am messed up. I like the setting. I like some of the characters a lot, but I can't disagree. I thought the dialogue was a problem.
And the fact is that because Jeremy Irons is so good, it made the triteness and just how awful the dialogue is, it made it show even more.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I have to agree with you, because I think there were so many great things about it, but the dialogue hurt. It did really hurt. I mean, like I said, I thought the acting was great. I think the story itself is really amazing. I also think, you know, it's interesting for people to see. I think we're at a really interesting age right now where there's a lot of these historical things that are coming out, and it's actually about to change really soon, but there's been a lot of historical stuff coming out over the last few years, kind of showing the fact that, you know, the good old days weren't the good old days.
Yeah.
You know, people like to look at the past with rose-colored glasses like it was some, like, great time, and right now is a travesty, when in reality, the past was, like, way worse. And I think, you know, it's also interesting to see, you know, there's a lot of very religious people out there to see, you know, how much of a, you know, joke this papacy was, you know, especially back then. I mean, the precursor to the sack of Rome, which essentially it was just full of, you know, all kinds of sex and murder and all kinds of, you know, I mean, basically they're trying to make this show seem like The Sopranos in the Renaissance. Like, we heard a preview when they're like, you know, the first crime family or whatever, you know, and that's really what they're trying to do.
So silly.
You know, the thing is there were a few things I liked, and there were a few characters I liked. You know, first off, I really liked his son. He has two sons, and his eldest son was essentially forced into being a clergyman by his father, and he wants to be a warrior. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, you know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to fight, but you know, his dad pretty much controls whatever he does, and you know, he had to become a bishop. But it's really cool because it's almost like it's sort of uncanny, but it's almost like Boardwalk Empire, where you know, there's a Steve Buscemi character who, you know, he does bad things, but overall he just wants to make money and have a good time.
Right.
But then you know, there's the but then there's the character who's why can't I remember his name? I'm totally drawing a blank right now.
Yeah, the Michael Pitt character, right?
Yeah, Michael, thank you. Michael Pitt's character, you know, essentially who's, you know, who's a warrior, comes back, and he's just all about murdering people to get his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what's going on in this story, too.
War, change.
Obviously, they're not biting on this because, you know, this is real history. This actually happened. But the thing was, it's really cool to see, like, how basically he is a reluctant bishop, but an actual warrior. So he just goes about things in a violent way because he feels
like... Yeah, except
like,
for his creepy relationship with his sister.
Well, there you go, and that's another thing, and that's just part of history, unfortunately, is that
freaky,
there was a lot of
history.
Weird incest stuff going on back in the day, and that's definitely going to come up, you can tell, and that's very creepy. I totally agree with that. But also, I think my favorite character in this entire thing is the assassin.
I agree with I certainly agree with that.
Rules. There's this awesome assassin. All I can say is he's like the royal assassin in freaking magic. He's just so freaking awesome.
And essentially, royal assassin
I mean,
magic.
the guy's awesome. You know, he's super evil. He poisons people. He stabs people.
You know, he has his job is to be an assassin, and he will be an assassin, and that's what he'll do, and he'll do whatever it takes to be an assassin because, you know, he doesn't really have scruples.
Exactly. He, you know, he'll get tortured on purpose in order to have an alibi.
Harder.
Yeah, that was the funniest part of the entire thing. You were laughing out loud during that section. He's like, please, sir, whip me some more. Yeah, it was a little,
much. Harder.
Yeah, harder. They won't believe it if you don't. Yeah, it was a little much.
The whole thing was a lot much.
He has sex with a chambermaid and then murders her to pin the crime on someone else. I mean, this is a badass show. There's crazy stuff going on.
But you know, it's a badass concept more than it is
yes.
a badass, you know,
I agree.
Coming together of it all. And yeah, so
I agree. And I think that the main thing was what I really like is, you know, Jeremy Irons is so great, but half the time I just hear Scar.
Yeah,
you know, from the Lion King. It's just out of control. It's totally
except,
great.
Except Lion King was written better.
Far better. And also, I just have to say one more thing, and that is, I like any show that has a monkey.
I agree. That was the best part of the
monkey.
He
brought a monkey to dinner, yes.
Didn't last too long, did it?
He brought a monkey to dinner. And that was it was a short time for the monkey, but I think there's
going to
be more
monkeys. I hope
there are more. Exactly.
There was a goat, there was a monkey.
Yes,
exactly.
Exactly. You never know.
Hope there's animals on every episode.
What kind of livestock will we have this episode? Look, there's a parakeet. Interesting. How can this be killed? Anyway, don't forget you can send us an email to geekworld@925koihy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com.
So we were just talking about the Borgia, and one of the main things that kind of made me realize how much I didn't enjoy the Borgia even more than just me not enjoying it was watching the first 15 minutes of Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Now, do you know when Game of Thrones is actually coming out? Is it like the 18th or something?
It's the 23rd, I think. Here, let me look that up.
Well, anyway, so on HBO,
it's April 17th.
April 17th. Okay, on April 17th, the show Game of Thrones is premiering, and that's based off a series of books, right?
Yeah, the series of books. There's already four books out. I think the fifth comes out this June.
And these 15 minutes, they pull you in immediately, and they are so well done, and they are like. If you were a fan of Rome, and there were a lot of fans of Rome,
hell yeah.
this is going to be for you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many beheadings there were in that first 15 minutes. Like, it was absolutely crazy, and it looks like it's going to be an absolutely fantastic, incredibly well-produced, incredibly well-written show.
What's really exciting is it seems like it's sort of Rome mixed with, you know, Lord of the Rings, because it's a fantasy. You know, it's funny, because luckily our special correspondent, Stupid Sister, mm-hmm. who happens to be my sister, she has actually read all the books, and she actually described it to me as sort of a fantasy book for people who hate fantasy, because she said overall it actually really comes across as a sort of period piece, but there are definitely fantasy elements, like like there's, you know, magicians and there's, you know, there's like, you know, there's sorcerers and there's dragons and there's different beasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the underlying, like, you know, plots don't really have to do with them. They're sort of involved, but the main thing is, you know, basically a big sort of political struggle for power. And I gotta say, yeah, this first 15 minutes was just unbelievable. I think, you know, first off, you get Sean Bean, who's just awesome. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, the guy was, you know, he was in Lord of the Rings as Boromir, and, you know, he's just been around for a long time, and he's really, really cool, and he's playing, you know, this main character for, what was it, Winterfall, I think was the name of the town?
Winterfell.
Yeah, Winterfell, and he, you know, he's really awesome, and, you know, in the first 15 minutes, we get two beheadings.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
And I'm hoping that there gets to be more of the White Walkers.
Yeah.
I like them a lot. I'd love to follow them. I want to know what happens, what they're all about. I'm really excited to learn more about this stuff. It grips you and it pulls you in. And, you know, it's one of those things that it made me realize just how much I disliked the Borgia.
Well, because the Borgia was like, it didn't really get really good until like the last 15 minutes of the first episode. And then the second episode, like, it had good parts in it. But you're right. If they showed the first 15 minutes of the Borgia,
for me,
people would have fallen asleep.
For me, the Borgia, it didn't get like decent until the very, very end of that, what was it?
Oh, the second episode?
First? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes that we watched.
Yeah.
Then it was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, you know, the Borgia really is more about, like, you know, look how people can rise to power, essentially, and look how, you know, people can use religion as a shield. And, you know, I think that that's not a bad statement to make out there. Unfortunately, it would be nicer if the dialogue was better, I agree, and especially considering how great Jeremy Irons is, because he's out of control. But yeah, this Game of Thrones, I think, is going to be awesome. Luckily, they started this already having, like, you know, four books out of the way, so luckily it won't be like an anime where, like, they have to start, you know, filling in stuff because, you know, they've reached the same point as the manga. I just, like, oh man, it was so crazy. Like, it was like violent, and there's gonna be all kinds of like cool stuff going on, and I don't know, I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to say one other thing about the Borgia, though, and let's say, you know, for all the critiquing going on here, it did have possibly the greatest response to for infidelity. His wife, Jeremy Irons' wife, who's played by Joanne Whalley, who, by the way, had a big thing for back in the day when she was in Willow. She was also married to Val Kilmer. A lot of people knew her as Joanne Whalley Kilmer back in the day. Well, you know, she gets cheated on by the Pope.
Yes.
And essentially, you know, she goes, why? And he this is how he responds, Adam A. She was in need. You think that's a good... I think, like, everyone should say that now when they get caught by cheaters.
Yeah.
You know, what? How could you do this to me? She was in need. It's like, oh, good point. I don't think that would have worked out very well. But yeah, I think...
God wanted her to be satisfied, he would have done it himself.
I think that, you know, it's really interesting because I don't know where the show's going to go. I know that it did have the highest premiere for a Showtime drama in 7 years.
What other dramas have they had?
Because that's the problem. It was under the big C, is that what it's called? The C word?
Isn't that a dramedy also?
And Nurse Betty, which...
Also a dramedy.
Nurse Jackie. Which is, that's the thing. They're actually dramedies, and so they don't count. They're consider their comedies.
Yeah.
But you know, if nothing else, watch United States of Terror, because that's actually really,
awesome,
really good.
It's back.
The first two episodes
are awesome.
Yeah, they were really, really good. And I love that Eddie Izzard is on it too.
Yes.
I haven't seen him in a while, so that's very cool to have him there. I love him. That one stand-up he did, Dressed to Kill, is still one of the funniest stand-ups of all time.
And Toni Collette looks gorgeous.
She does.
Year.
Yeah, she looks great. Man, that open in the premiere when she was Buck.
No,
she
my God.
The guy, she had the gun, was like so great. And by the way, the one who plays her daughter, the one who's going to be in 21 Jump Street, is like totally hot.
Yeah,
I just, you know, had to mention that because
that
was important.
It's true.
Yes, and I don't know what they're doing with 21 Jump Street though, because I was thinking today, because, you know, we saw her in this. I was thinking with 21 Jump Street, like, do you think Channing Tatum, like, is really going to pull off the whole high school thing?
You know, I think the only way they could pull it off is if they need someone to, like, infiltrate, like, the high school football
team
because they're selling steroids or
exactly.
something.
Exactly, like, or the basketball team or something.
The thing about Johnny Depp was that he had that baby face,
yes.
but he still had the, like, the you know, the sexual pull for the older audience, you know, like, for adults, you know, because it's not like he didn't seem like a child, but at the same time, he could pull off playing a teenager, you
know? I mean, the thing about Johnny Depp is, like, if you were a kid around the time when he was first coming out in the 80s, you know, it was sort of R. Pat's times 100.
Yeah.
Like, that was sort of, you know, the appeal he had at the time. And so the thing was, you know, his Tom Hansen character in the original show, it made sense because essentially he's trying to be a beat cop and no one took him seriously because he looked like he was 15 years old.
Yep.
And he had this baby face and he was all skinny and stuff. And so he had the heart of a cop.
Yeah.
But he looked like a kid.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that they chose Channing Tatum for Duke and G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Channing Tatum looks like, you know, he would be part of the SWAT team. Like, no one, if he was a beat cop, people would take him seriously.
Yeah.
He's giant and he looks like a badass. So, like, it's just weird. They can't have the same scenario, obviously.
Well, unless it's Brie Larson that they're bringing in.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
To be the new cop because she, you know, she couldn't blame, she would have a lot of trouble being taken seriously as a beat cop.
Exactly, exactly. But anyway, we'll see about that. But was there anything else you want to say? Well, let's just talk about this medieval stuff going on, actually.
Yeah,
so,
you know, a whole lot.
We already have the Borgia, which you talked about. And like we said, Game of Thrones is coming out. Well, also this week, we don't have Stars, but if you did, Camelot came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the millions of versions of King Arthur. But apparently what's really cool about this one is, first off, you get Eva Green, the very, very sexy Eva Green, who not only was in, Casino Royale as Vesper, but she's also going to be in that Dark Shadows movie that Tim Burton's going to be in. Oh, by the way, Hit Girl got cast in that, too.
Ah, Chloe Moritz.
Yes, exactly. And so that should be very interesting. I like the fact that Johnny Depp said that he's basically going to play it pretty much just like the actor who played Barnaby Collins or whatever it was in the original. So that should be really cool. I don't know where. Oh, yeah. So Eva Green's in it. And also Joseph Fiennes is going to be playing Merlin in kind of a darker, more evil. I don't know if he's evil, but a darker, more version of Merlin.
Hmm.
And, you know, apparently
that's kind of sad.
Yeah. Why? What's sad about it?
I like Merlin is pure.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
He's wizardy and fun and happy.
I'm fine with it because
you're awesome.
The thing is, there's just so many King Arthur things, you know, like they like even, you know, Merlin,
yeah.
You know, that came out, you know, it was like a BBC show that was on what, like Sci-Fi or whatever. It's like there's so many of these shows now and there has been. So I kind of like that it's a different version of Merlin, you know, a little darker version. And, you know, I'm glad Joseph Fiennes is getting work. You know, that whole like stupid flash forward show didn't work out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the poor guy. You know, ever since Shakespeare in Love, you know, it's been kind of hard to find something cool. So I'm glad he's got work. But along with that, you know, Your Highness is coming out this week.
Yeah.
Which of course, has Danny McBride, James Franco, Natalie Portman, and it's basically a medieval stoners comedy. And it actually looks really funny. Every trailer we've seen, you especially like the part when she kisses his cheek.
Yeah, she kisses his cheek, and then he sticks his tongue out to the side. It's like,
And I gotta say,
really funny.
Those original TV spots where they're like Academy Award winner Natalie Portman,
oh my god,
Academy nominee James Franco, in fifth grade class president Danny McBride were just brilliant.
Well, all I have to say is that I hadn't heard of this. I hadn't heard of the movie the first time that I saw it. So when I saw Academy Award winner Natalie Portman, Academy Award nominee James Franco, I thought that it was some like a serious medieval movie.
Yeah.
And then they got to the fifth grade class president. I was like, oh, it's a comedy. I got you.
Because, you know, Danny McBride tends to play this character a lot. You know, he seems like sort of a more likable version of his character from Eastbound and Down. But I actually, I think we might go see this because it looks really funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's by the director of Pineapple Express. And, it looks like a good time.
It definitely looks like a lot of fun.
It, you know, when we got these scenes like the Borgia and Game of Thrones and Camelot, it seems more on the side of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah.
Or, no, I'm sorry, Excellent Adventure, rather. It was Excellent Adventure there in medieval times. And actually, I have some news about that. Would you like me to read that news?
Yes.
All right, let me see if I can actually find that news. Okay, well, Keanu Reeves hopes to reteam with Alex Winter for Bill and Ted 3. And he actually did an interview recently.
He's always talking about how we would totally love to do more.
Keanu rules.
I mean, I love that he appreciates that really helped him to give him a big part of a star.
Yeah.
Like, that made people love him.
Yeah, I mean, Keanu Reeves rules. I mean, and basically, I think he was on MTV, and he said, this is a quote from him, the writers are 6 weeks away from a draft, and apparently the plot is going to continue a few years after the events of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where, Bill and Ted were supposed to have written the song that saved the world, and it hasn't happened, so they've now become sort of possessed by trying to do that. Then there's the element of time, and they have to go back. So, I'm all for it.
I
would love to have another Bill and Ted movie. I mean, those two movies are great.
And you know what? Like, I know that that you can't get the original Rufus back.
Yeah.
But Pam Grier, because she was pseudo Rufus.
You know, I wish we had a little more time talking about this, because what I wanted to say was, I think there could be a debate about, can we use avatar technology to put him in there?
That's creepy.
Like, can we use like an impersonator?
But I'm telling you, there's precedence to put Pam Grier in.
I'm telling you, we have the technology and this is the perfect thing to do it with.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool to do that. Because the thing is,
I guess you could also do digital Rufus anyway.
The thing is, George Carlin didn't write the, you know, script.
I know.
And so you could have an impersonator of him and use like avatar technology in order to put him back in the movie.
It's true.
I would not be against this, honestly.
Okay.
It's not as weird as things like, let's just put James Dean and freaking, you know, Marlon Brando in a movie just because.
Yeah, but actually, let's take a quick break. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com.